Hello, this is your Polycast for Friday, December 2nd, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, the state has a $1.4 billion budget surplus, and Minnesota Republicans hope the excitement over Donald Trump will last. Minnesota finance officials said today that the state has a projected $1.4 billion cushion heading into the next legislative session. Minnesota Management and Budget says the state's budget and economic outlook remain stable despite continued slow economic growth, and general fund revenue continues to grow. That gives lawmakers a projected $1.4 billion for the next two-year budget cycle. Governor Mark Dayton will rely on the forecast to shape his initial spending recommendations for 2018 and 19. Dayton must then try to get those proposals through a House and Senate that will be in Republican control. The budget that gets enacted next year will be based on an updated forecast that comes out in late February or early March. Medica says it may have to stop taking part in Minnesota's Medicaid and MinnesotaCare program starting next spring. Mark Zadeklik reports.
Medica and other insurers provide managed care health plans to the state's Medicaid and MinnesotaCare programs. Medica wrote state officials saying those programs will cost the company $150 million more than the state is paying this year. Jeff Bartsch, who oversees the company's Medicaid and MinnesotaCare operations, says if Medica were to continue with them, it would lose even more money.
With the rates proposed by the state for next year, we're looking at losses again exceeding $100 million. To absorb losses at those levels would put the solvency of the company at risk.
DHS Commissioner Emily Johnson Piper said the state negotiated reasonable 2017 increases with public assistance insurers and that her focus now will be on transitioning Medica clients to other carriers by Medica's April 30th deadline. Mark Zadeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
St. Paul Mayor Chris Coleman has laid out his political future, at least for the short term, and it does not include City Hall. Tim Nelson has more.
Coleman says he's ready to leave city government after three terms as mayor and two terms as a city council member.
Today I'm announcing that I will not seek another term as mayor of the city of St. Paul.
Coleman talked about the Green Line light rail line, the new home for the St. Paul Saints, and a prospective pro soccer stadium as he made a formal announcement at Lake Monster Brewing on Vandalia Street. It confirmed widespread expectation about his political prospects.
I have to say that as a person who has lived in St. Paul all of my life, I have never seen St. Paul at a place where it is more vibrant, a better place to live, to work, to raise a family than it is today in 2016.
His decision opens up the seat for the first time since 2001 when then-Mayor Norm Coleman, no relation, decided not to run for a third term. Chris Coleman has been one of the city's longest-serving mayors and beat predecessor Randy Kelly by a wider margin than any challenger to an incumbent in city history. Coleman, a DFLer, said in an interview that he's also weighing a run for governor in 2 years when Mark Dayton's second term ends.
Obviously, I've been looking at that. I've talked with folks around the state of Minnesota, and I'll make a final decision sometime in the next month or so.
He'll join nearly a half dozen other Democrats reported to be eyeing the race, including Lieutenant Governor Tina Smith, Attorney General Lori Swanson, State Auditor Rebecca Otto, and Senate Minority Leader Tom Bach. State Representative Erin Murphy has already said she's running. In St. Paul, there's already a field lining up to succeed Coleman. Former school board member Tom Goldstein is already running for St. Paul mayor, and two former city council members, Melvin Carter and Pat Harris, are putting together exploratory campaigns to try and replace Coleman in City Hall. Harris was at the announcement by Coleman, a longtime political ally and friend.
You know, I wanted to really wait until, you know, the current mayor that I support, you know, made his decision, and then we'll talk over the next several days, because I feel really strongly about St. Paul's future, and I think I'm in a great spot to lead this community, you know, as a great team with all the great people in our city.
Harris says he plans to set up a campaign committee before the end of the year and make a formal announcement in January. His potential rival, Melvin Carter, was also on hand at Coleman's announcement. Carter has been raising money for a year and says he'll make a decision about whether to formally enter the race soon. Carter would be the city's first black mayor were he to win.
You know, I'm somebody who grew up in the city. I'm somebody who's lived in the challenged neighborhoods. I'm a descendant of the Rondo neighborhood. I think I bring a perspective of the community in St. Paul, many of whom feel like they haven't necessarily been heard in the way they'd like to be.
The race is likely to start taking shape quickly. The DFL endorsement is traditionally a decisive factor in the race, starting with precinct caucuses as early as February. This year, though, St. Paul DFL Chair Libby Cantner says they're planning to change the traditional endorsement process, in part by moving the start of precinct caucuses to April 22nd and running through April 30th.
What we heard from people is they wanted shorter and less endorsement events.
Next year will mark the first open mayoral seat in St. Paul since voters approved ranked choice voting in 2009. It's also likely to be the second high-profile mayoral challenge in 2017. Civil rights activist Nikema Levy-Pounds has announced her plans to run for mayor in Minneapolis, challenging first-term DFLer Betsy Hodges, who will be seeking re-election but hasn't yet made a formal announcement. Tim Nelson, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Minnesota Republicans will have reason to celebrate tomorrow when they gather for a state central committee meeting in Lakeville. The Republicans are riding high after big election wins by legislative candidates and a stronger-than-expected showing in Minnesota by President-elect Donald Trump. Party leaders are now trying to make sure those Trump-inspired voters stick around. Tim Pugmire has more.
Trump didn't win in Minnesota, but he came close, and his impact was felt in contests statewide. Republicans expanded their majority in the Minnesota House and won control of the state Senate for the first time in 6 years. Keith Downey, chairman of the Republican Party of Minnesota, says the election provided the party's candidates an opportunity to govern, both here and in Washington, and to prove voters were right. Now Downey wants those voters, especially social media-savvy Trump backers, to keep pushing the message.
When they repeal and replace Obamacare, when we address immigration, when we address tax reform, all of those things, we're going to have a great opportunity, and they will be uniquely situated to be the voices of what that agenda looks like and what's happening.
The momentum for Trump was on full display 2 days before the election when he held an airport rally that drew thousands. Minnesota hasn't voted for a Republican presidential candidate since 1972, but Trump came within 44,000 votes of ending that streak. Downey says many Trump supporters haven't been active in politics. His plan is to reach out, invite them to get involved, and begin working toward 2018. But Downey also knows that some might not be interested in the invitation.
Trump in many ways kind of ran against the parties, and I understand that and I accept that. And if they want to stay engaged and mobilized and organized and participate in politics outside of the party, that's a second way to do it too, right? No one's going to force them to come, that they have to come into the party and be part of our structures and things.
One potential recruit is Bob Anderson of Hastings, who was a Trump delegate to the Republican State Convention. Anderson had never before been involved in Republican politics, but he was a two-time Independence Party candidate for Congress in 2008 and 2010. Anderson expects Trump supporters will change the Republican Party.
I just haven't seen any reason prior to this to get involved in the Republican Party. It was just more of the same to me. So I think the new Trump movement will definitely be involved and will be helping make and shape the party moving forward.
Anderson says he's already talking with other Trump supporters about potential candidates for governor to get behind in 2018. He says Republicans who did not fully embrace Trump during this year's campaign should not be on the list.
Especially the ones that scattered from Trump and really wouldn't even support him are no of interest to me, and I'm sure many of the same Trump supporters like myself would feel the same way.
Under that criteria, some big names being mentioned as possible GOP candidates would be snubbed. During the heat of the campaign, House Speaker Kurt Dowd and Congressman Eric Paulson were among those distancing themselves from Trump. Both are expected to speak to the party faithful on Saturday. Paulson says he's looking ahead.
Even in a district like mine where actually Trump lost by 10 percentage points, I mean, people understand that different areas of the state have different feelings, but we're all singing the same tune and moving forward and working together, and that's what they want to hear. They want to make sure that we're not, you know, going back on principles and values, but we're actually looking forward and the best way to accomplish those opportunities.
Republican Congressman Tom Emmer, who's been a strong Trump supporter, sees a simple strategy for keeping new GOP voters in the fold. Emmer says Trump voters want a small, less intrusive government and Republicans need to deliver.
You can have the greatest marketing program in the world, right? But if the product you put out is flat or doesn't meet expectations, guess what? The customer is going to shop elsewhere.
Emmer is also expected to speak at the GOP State Central Committee meeting. Covering politics, I'm Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Friday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you again here next week.